Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. That's how they sound.
With or without you.
The Intangibles love you too.
Why are you ripping Bono, man?
No, can I just say this?
They hacked our phones.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Early U2 was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell happened.
Hacking U2, not awesome.
Oh, when they made us have the U2 album?
Yeah, I wasn't.
Oh, that first album. Oh, my God. You couldn't get that album off that phone.
Get my phone.
Just put its tentacles in there.
It's just there forever.
It's like, enough, dude. I don't want to hear this song, Bono. Just play Desire and let's move on.
But this, yeah.
Early U2 was awesome.
So you're talking about this U2?
Yeah, this U2 is...
Were the first group to open up
The Sphere?
Sphere?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
They did a residency there.
Yeah.
It's crazy, though. Like, the last... What's that? That was the 80s, early 90s? Good U2?
Yeah.
Like...
You're old. We're old.
No, but I'm just saying, have they had anything good since then?
They don't have to. They're like a legend act. They can always come out with something. Pete, they got their fans that's always going to buy.
They got the hardcores. They got enough.
Yeah.
Man. Let's get to our headlines. Brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Doral VW just broke the rules of gravity. Price are falling so fast. We're checking for a crater. Volkswagen's price like they've lost their mind. Doral VW, buckle up. No one sells for less. No one. Man. The Panthers.
They had a preseason game last night.
They not only had a preseason game last night, they beat the Carolina Hurricanes, who played a lot of their regulars. They beat them with basically the Charlotte Checkers.
Who's Charlotte Checkers?
The Panthers minor league team. Wow. And they had Tarasov in there between the pipes. 47 saves for new Bob.
We call him new Bob?
New Bob, dude.
I got to tell you. They had a lot of decent backup goalies.
Yeah. Well, they you know, Robbie Tallis, who is their goaltending coach, and Roberto Luongo, who have put together the goaltending excellence department. Bo-legged Lou. They have put a good grip on who fits. But I tell you, this Tarasov, he is the son of Bob's idol. And so now he's big. He's not like Bob. He's like 6'5". But he's a moose. He's an absolute moose. And last night, 47 saves in his performance. This was a Paul Maurice on what the young goalie looked like between the pipes against the Hurricanes.
Yeah, well, he had shown that great lateral movement, so we'd seen it, but you want to see it in a game. And you like a high-volume night in training camp because it's almost mental for these guys, goaltenders especially. What they're really working on is being able to stay wired into a game for a full 60 minutes, right?
Focused.
That's the challenge for guys like Sergei. It's to come back into a game. It's why he ran the whole game tonight instead of splitting, because there's a different mentality in splitting games. So that he was able to stay mentally in that game straight through. I do, in some ways, I think it's a little bit easier when you get the volume that he got tonight. But he's fantastic, and that's a great thing for him. Build confidence. All the guys back home will know about the performance he had tonight, so it's good for him.
Panthers start real training camp today, like the actual Panthers. Like
oh, the real starters?
Time for the boys to get out there and really practice today.
So watching the Gators was their like probably their last.
That was their last hoorah, their Vlad, today. Because Paul Maurice said this in a bunch of interviews. He's like, hey, you think I'm taking it easy on you in camp? No, I'm giving you an extra week, and then it's go time.
Yep.
It's go time. He ain't here to mess around with his camp.
So, Vlad, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
What group is Bowlegged Lou from?
Bowlegged Lou?
Yeah. Isn't he with Lisa and Cold Jam?
Wow. From Full Force and all of them?
Yeah.
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 Old school right there.
Yeah. Bowlegged Lou.
Crazy.
Well, Bobby Lou. And his department with Rob Tallis. They seem like they got another one.
It's amazing that they've been able to have like a really good goalie behind Bob. That when he has that stretch or when you need to give Bob a break or when they have back-to-backs, that they can put him in and feel very comfortable and Bob can just get a break. Because we've seen teams or who did they play last where they kept switching goalies.
Did Nashville?
Carolina
last week?
Carolina, they did it. Skinner, they wanted his ass out of there.
Right.
This guy's the best, Bobby.
He's the best. So, right, yeah.
He's got them all shook right now.
So, you know?
That's why it's enough of this Helly Book being up on all these lists.
You think they could do three-peat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlike any other sport.
Can they do three-peat?
I'm just saying, it seems like this is the one sport that would wear you down with extended seasons more than any other.
I think basketball as well.
But here's the thing.
I
will say this, though. This is the thing with the Panthers. They're so deep, dude.
Right.
Like, they're so
deep. But you can't get days off in hockey.
Yes, you do.
They do? They give days off in hockey?
You can get time to time. There'll be injuries that hit you.
It's not like basketball. Basketball, you could.
But Sam, they're gonna get like at least 2 weeks off because of the Olympics.
Oh, there's the Olympics break now. A lot of them are in the Olympics, so it depends on who goes far.
But right. I mean, All-Star too.
They get time
no,
off.
No, that is the All-Star break this year. But they did that last year. Like I would say, last year between the Finland and the Four Nations,
Kachuk. That was 2 weeks.
And that's the other thing is like, look,
Kachuk got hurt in the.
Whenever Kachuk comes back, like you'd hope that you're going to get a fresh. Now that this isn't going to be dropping to the playoffs, Kachuk, you'd imagine it's probably going to be sometime mid-season that we're going to get Kachuk.
Right.
So, yeah, look, I get it. It is a grueling season. I'm not dismissing it as a grueling season, but I do think that they are as equipped, and that's
they're
the thing.
They're built to be able to go these long, extended seasons because they're so deep.
Yeah. It's like. The goaltender in the playoffs is like the ace pitcher in the postseason. If you got a guy who can go seven innings, you got a guy that, behind the pipes that, you know, is going to just stop everything like Bob has shown over the last three seasons. Yeah, you're pretty confident going in.
Yeah, but also, the thing that Paul Maurice has done to help Bob is the defense in front of him so much different than when Bob first got here.
Oh yeah, I mean, adding Seth Jones and Gustav Forsling is a beast, and just every. I mean, we talked to the boys who are going to go there and thump people up, like Look, they really do feel like top to bottom. They've put it all together so well.
And you get a full season of Marshy.
Yeah, full season of Marchand, Mackey Samuskevich in his second full season.
Yep.
You know, Anton Lindell's 23.
That's crazy, right?
It's it's like we don't even talk about, we just expect what Barkov and Sams are going to give us, both of them, both the Sams. Ecky's back, all locked up, and no suspensions this year because he's a good boy.
He is a good boy.
He's a good boy.
He behaves well.
And he never, whatever happened last year was not.
Set up.
It was a setup. It was because he would never do that.
By the way, he's got the best cover. He's a mean guy, but then he's Ben, Bennett's buddies. Oh, he loves animals.
Oh,
Who's really going to be upset with a guy who loves animals?
Who's going to
hate that guy?
They
tried to hate him in Canada.
They did, but then you see his. Come on, man. Nobody's going to hate a guy who loves animals, who saves animals.
Pretty wild.
Somehow they do.
All right, we'll take a break. More to come here on the show. We're back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. We're going to talk in about 10 minutes. Lenden Quiñones, the lone wolf, is going to join us in studio.
We were comparing injuries and in the process of broken jaw.
Yeah, I just called his fight Dirty Boxing 3. He fought Mike Breeden, and he was smoking him for most of the fight. He was hitting him like six times for his one, but one of them, the ones that hit him, broke his jaw. But now, we were going to do this like right after the fight, but he broke his jaw. So now he can talk. So we'll have
Which is amazing.
Yeah, so we'll have him come on here. South Florida guy, went to Marjorie Stone Douglas and has been in the UFC. Was on the Ultimate Fighter with, I believe, Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler season. And just won his Dirty Boxing debut. So we'll talk to him coming on up. He's visiting the studio. Dolphins, they are getting set for the New York Jets. And Sports Talk and WQAM, sponsored by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Mike McDaniel is speaking to the media.
We got time.
We got time. You know, whatever he's...
Are you sure?
Boy, they probably haven't gotten through. If it started, what time did it start? 11? 11:15?
I'm guessing he just started like 11:15, yeah.
So I'm guessing he made it through one question.
Oh. Yeah. He's still answering the first question right now.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Yeah.
You said he's getting. Oh, no. He's in the middle. He's still in the middle of answering the first question.
Probably.
You know you're in for a long answer when he goes.
He just said an right now.
Yep.
That's when you know he's lying.
Some pearls. Yeah, exactly. You know?
And a good liar, because you know when he's lying, because he's trying to find the right thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of times. Like coaches, and here's what, you can appreciate certain types of coaches, right? Like, Bill Belichick never stuttered through an answer because he was consistent with how he answered questions.
Nobody did grumble.
He was consistent with how he answered questions throughout his whole career. So you didn't have to think or whatever. He was going to be consistent with that. Mike McDaniel's trying to get somewhere with his answer. But it comes across not the way that he would think.
You want to know why?
Why?
You know, I anticipated this question.
See? And that's it.
He anticipates questions.
Hey. What?
He was asked about Patrick Paul. It's from Travis Wingfield's Twitter. It's the first question I've gotten about him, which for an offensive lineman, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. I would say, the Dolphins are in an interesting position because they have injected this team with youth, and fans don't have the patience for young players. And so there's a lot of these guys going through growing pains from being a first or second year player, and where your team or where your fan base is or where your owner wants to be isn't taking that into account, right? So, like, Patrick Paul got an advantage last year by not playing, even though I would have played him at left guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got to watch a really good player. And so he seemed, even though he may have struggled a little bit when he came in last year, he looks like a different guy now.
He had to play both sides, too. Like, they put him at right tackle. Like, he had to flip when he did get some time.
Right.
Do have some breaking news. Not great. Alexander Barkov, this is from Jordan McPherson of the Miami Herald. Alexander Barkov has left Panthers practice with a right leg injury. He says it was the first practice session in which the regulars were on the ice. It's unclear what caused the injury with Barkov as he laid on the ice for several minutes before being helped to the dressing room by two staff members. Barkov put very little weight on his right leg while leaving the ice. Paul Maurice said after the practice session, it's still getting looked at and should have more clarity on Friday. But that is obviously awful news.
Yep.
No, so,
well, we don't know. We don't know. Let's be clear.
We don't know.
We don't know what it is. And I would say hockey is a weird thing in that, like, yeah, you could really – you don't know how severe the injury is because you're on skates.
No. We'll keep you posted. If we get anything new on Sasha, maybe I'll check in with our boy, the Hockey Hornet, and see if he saw what happened.
The Hockey Hornet.
We'll take a break. Landon Quinones, the Lone Wolf. He joins us now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Very excited. Joining us in studio, we got one of South Florida's own. You guys know we love the fight game here. Landon Quinones, the Lone Wolf, joining us here in studio. It's good to finally do this, man. How are you?
Great, man. Great.
It's good to see you're starting to heal up. You had a hell of a fight, hell of a performance against Mike Breeden the last time. You were at Dirty Boxing 3, called your fight. Hell of a show you put on, but man, the trials of being a fighter, you had to deal with a broken jaw afterwards.
Yeah, unfortunately, I feel like my defense was pretty good the whole fight. Yeah. But you know, Mike's tough as hell, and he wasn't gonna take an L without leaving me with something to remember him by. So yeah, it happens. But it was the first 10 seconds of the third round. I feel like I was up big, and he had to do something wild, and I blocked the first punch. Second one slipped through, and you know what the doctor said, because I still have my wisdom teeth, it's like creates a wedge between your jawbone and your tooth, so it actually makes it more susceptible to being broken if you get hit in that spot. And not saying that he wouldn't have broken it if I didn't have that spot that he hit, but it definitely made me a little bit more susceptible to it, so yeah, it's unfortunate.
You and Leroy have been bonding over broken jaw stories.
Oh, yeah.
Because Leroy broke his jaw in Michigan.
Hey, it's the thing is, you realize how much you enjoy food,
dude.
Right? Because you can't. It's everything's liquid, and no matter what you do, you can't get enough the same amount of calories or type of calories as a nice piece of meat.
Dude, fried chicken has like been my thing. Like I always go through phases in my life of what junk food I like. And right now it's been fried chicken. And like Dave's Hot Chicken, if y'all listen to this, make sure you holler at your boy for a sponsorship. But I love fried chicken. Just the crunch, you know what I mean? Texture is something that you just don't really appreciate till it's taken away from you, right? Just like if you're injured, right? You can't do your sport for a long time. You don't really like love and appreciate it the same until it's taken away from you. So I can't wait. 2 more weeks wired and we're good. But at least I can speak clearly.
You know? You're going to be – it's not – listen. Look, poor kid. He doesn't. You think you're just going to be able to open up and just bite and eat whatever you want?
Oh, man.
You know what's going to be worse? Opening up your mouth and having that piece of chicken and going,
you can't eat it. You're too weak.
He's already seeing the finish line, Leroy.
Chop it up for me. Chop it up for me.
He's just trying to take away my hopes and aspirations.
No,
I was so excited. He just ruined it for me.
All I'm saying is that you still got a long road. Mm. Be careful. Don't go at it. You know, just let the process take care of itself.
Yeah. I can't get hit for another month anyway. He said no contact, you know. But
So have you been working out?
Dude, to be honest, no. He told me no running, no bent.
Oh, because you don't want to.
No,
okay.
No vibration.
No jarring. I've been teaching and kind of pushing the limits, like, because I coach. Like, you know, that's how I make a living as well. So
right.
Showing kicks on the pads or, like, holding pads here and there. But I don't hold pads for kicks. I can't really drill. Even when I hit the bag, he said no kicks. Like, I'm starting to, like, slowly progress into, like, skill training, like 60%, but like still, like because of the vibration and the movement, like,
right?
Like, stay away from it.
Is this the most frustrating injury of your career?
Yeah, for sure. Like ACL was bad, but like at least like I could eat and I could do other things. I could coach and stuff like that. And like I feel like I got my mind off it. But here it's like I can't. I feel like I'm such a fat boy at heart, so I feel like not being able to eat has been killing me, bro. It's killing me.
Well, your performance was great, man. Like, listen, calling your fight, it was all action. I know that the crowd was really excited to see you. You're a South Florida guy, so okay. Like, how much did you enjoy the experience at Dirty Box? And that performance that you put on.
I love it, man. So one thing that I was really emphasizing in the build-up to this fight is I fought at home twice in the last like 7 years. You know, I fought in Australia, I fought in Vegas, I fought in Dominican Republic, but I don't really get the chance to like come home and like do it in front of my people. And to be honest, fighting at home is actually harder, because when you fight at home, it's like you have all these home obligations, you have all these people over here that are expecting you to win, and like it's a lot of pressure, you know. But you know, I loved it, man. I feel like that pressure doesn't really exist to me anymore, because I'm really only worried about myself and how I feel in my own skin. So I could care less who's there and stuff. But one thing about me is, regardless of how I feel on the inside about it, I feed off energy. So the crazier the environment, the more hyped up it is, the more energy I receive from the fans, like the more fun I have and the better I'll perform. I've always been like that. I'd rather, if you told me fight like during COVID, fans or no fans, like fans all day and as many as you could fit in the place. So
right.
I loved it. I thought it was a great time. I felt like it was a great way to represent my people. You know, like I don't like to say, oh, I'm Miami, I'm from Broward, like I'm a South Florida guy. Like, how many guys you see come from all over the world that come and train in South Florida?
Yep.
I'm homegrown, born and raised here. So to be able to go do that and represent that crowd of people, of the homegrown people, meant a lot to me. Like, think about it. You see Terrence Crawford, Omaha. Like, I represent Sunrise, Fort Lauderdale, you know, Broward County, the Miami crew, like everyone around here, all the local guys. So
I know he mentioned
it felt
Jimmy.
Good to be that guy.
He mentioned Jimmy Butler in the fighter meetings we were talking about.
Oh yeah.
Remember Landon's like, it's like, I got my joy back, like Jimmy Butler. I'm like, sensitive issue for me.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Sure.
Oh no.
I was
sensitive. Hey. Team petty. This dude is petty till death.
I'm not
so,
team.
I am too.
You
for
are.
The most part, for the
Listen,
most part.
I'm not team petty. It's just like, you know, we just it was still fresh in my mind, Leroy.
Here's the problem. Mm-hmm. The reason why you feel so hurt is because when everybody else was rats off a ship on Jimmy because of his antics, you were still, you know, behind Jimmy. At the end, when Jimmy let you down, it hurt a little bit more. We had already prepared ourselves for the letdown. You had not gone there yet.
Yeah, well, it was also because everybody was blaming me, too.
It's your fault.
No, it's not my
it
fault.
It is your fault.
Don't say that. That's not true.
It is your fault.
It's not my fault.
It is your
Pat
fault.
Pat Riley was going to say what he said, just no matter what I asked him, so please don't say that.
For sure.
Who asked him the question that got him to say
It's not important. Let's ask a question to Landon, okay? what was the feedback that you got from just doing this new sport? I am curious about it, because people do seem to be buzzing about Dirty Box. I'm not saying that just because I'm on the broadcast, but like it feels like you had Shaq in the building. Mm-hmm. It felt like mm-hmm. a big vibe. So what was I know you've been on UFC, been on Ultimate Fighter and all that, but like did you get a lot of feedback just from your performance?
I mean, I love it, man. I think, you know, Maki and these guys said, like, you know, there's a lot of exciting fights that have been in Dirty Boxing so far, but I feel as far as like a technical masterclass and display of boxing skill, I will say that I feel like I had the best one out of all the shows that they've done so far, you know?
Yeah.
You got a lot of MMA fighters that don't really have great defense or great boxing, you know? I mean, I'm not a boxer, a pure boxer myself. I'm in the MMA realm. But I am a pure – I wouldn't say purist, but I'm a striker. Like, my base is striking. You know, I have good grappling and stuff like that, but striking has always been my bread and butter. Even in my fights, as a professional in MMA, I have 100% takedown defense. You know, all my fights have taken place in the feet. So I feel like I was really a display of, like, how good dirty boxing can get. And, you know, there's been more exciting fights, like I said. Like the Brazilian – before me.
No, that fight was wild.
Oh, yeah, that was a wild
but your
fight.
But your fight was really good. That fight was insane.
For me, you saw like a technical masterclass. You saw defense, you saw movement, you saw combinations flow. And these guys, it was like dropping each other back and forth. It was definitely, you could argue it was just as exciting, if not more exciting. You know, I don't want to like downgrade my performance, but that was a great fight. They deserve the bonus. They deserve the hype that they got, you know, but I feel like it's a great platform. Also, Malky and John Jones, all those guys have been in UFC around the UFC their whole careers. So being able to see the way they organize things and kind of stealing from that the way they do it, you know, Dirty Boxing is a very organized show. The media and production is great. The way they promote the fights is great. The interviews and outside people they let in to help push the media and whatnot is great. I loved it, man. I thought it was great. I felt like I got really good feedback. You know, I feel like I see a good future in dirty boxing. I could do really well there. I feel like I could be their first champion as well. But, you know, right now we're just taking it day by day, step by step. I got to heal my jaw first.
Absolutely.
And see what the next steps are. But I think it's a lot of clout, man. I think they're doing a lot of great things. And what the press is getting, it could be just as big as Bare Knuckle, just as big as the UFC, or just as big as some of these boxing promotions as well. But it's brand new. We just got to see how it plays out moving forward.
So, like, is the goal for you, is it, you know, Dirty Bodies, people, like, do you want to get back into the UFC? Like, is that also something that's still on the check? Because we do hear that from a lot of the fighters, too. Like, and I see a lot of you guys. I'm like, man, these guys got a lot of juice. Like, that, there's definitely that talent there. And I know you train with the Hotbed down here as well with a bunch of guys. So, like, what is ultimately that road for you?
Man, I'd love to continue with Dirty Boxing. I think the rule sets fits my style well. If it gets just as big as I feel like it could get, I'd stay there. You know what I mean? Money talks.
Yep.
But I would like to get back to the UFC, and I feel like with the press that the Dirty Boxing is getting, even if I didn't fight MMA, I feel like fighting in Dirty Boxing, I could get back to the UFC. I still train at MMA. I still train my wrestling. I still train my grappling. I still work my kicks. Obviously, for this fight, predominantly I train for boxing, you know, and I will continue to do it because it's a new skill set. I have a new coach that I've been working with the last few months, so I'm kind of going back to basics. You know, before this fight, I was on a little bit of a slump, lost on The Ultimate Fighter, lost my first UFC fight. I lost my second UFC fight. My second UFC fight, I don't feel like I really lost. I feel like I got robbed in the decision. But at the end of the day, if you look at the record, you see a red square and you see an L. So I was in a little bit of a slump, and I asked him, like, what do you do when you're on this slump? Because you see a lot of these fighters, they lose a couple in a row. Their confidence is in the dirt. They have so many identity issues, so they really don't, like, know how to find that flow and get back. They just continue to lose. Or, like, they'll lose two, three, win one, then lose another two. Then win one, then lose another three. And they're winning just enough to keep themselves in the game, but they're not really progressing. And I asked my coach, I'm like, this new coach, Jamal Hargrove, my boxing coach. I was like, what do I do if, like, what does a guy do if he loses his flow? How does he get it back? Like, you know, do you think they can ever get it back? Because sometimes, like, I don't see it, you know? And he's like, well, you could, but you know what you got to do? You got to go back to basics and just take your time and go back to the little things, you know? And I did that this fight, and I feel like I saw great results, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was impressive. What was the experience on The Ultimate Fighter like?
It was the great. I always call it the greatest worst experience of my life. Terrible, bro. It's the thing is, like, I was also, like, a little immature compared to what I am now. I know it wasn't that long ago.
You were on the McGregor Chandler season,
the prospect team. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was the thing is, like, it's a lot of tension. You're in a house with 16 dudes, and, like, yeah, on the show, it's a team. It's two teams, right? And you do build, like, relationships with the people you're training with every day and stuff like that, but it's not really a team, bro. Like, these guys that are on my team, like, I still have that little unsafe vibe. Like, I might fight this guy. This guy wins, I might fight this guy.
Yeah.
I'm over here playing cards with this guy. I could be fighting him next Thursday. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It was really weird and uncomfortable, and I feel like I couldn't. And then with no TV, no music, no books, like,
oh,
I feel
my
like,
God.
Yeah, dude, you get super stir crazy, and, like, it's like a prison with good food. And a nice house. Not for real. You get good food and nice
could
house.
Could do nothing. Could go. All you're doing is training. And
yeah, man. And even the training, like, the training is more for show. Like, you're not training hard or really getting better. You're just trying to stay fresh and keep working out so when you fight, like,
right,
you're ready to go fight. You know, the training is all done before, you know. But I feel like for me, like, being so stir crazy, when it got to the moment to go fight, I was so drained from all the tension that I was feeling 24 hours that, like, it folded me. Like, I just feel like I was too immature to be in that spot, you know.
Right.
I actually have a story. Before I got on the show, they send you to Vegas for final selections, and they'll put you in a hotel, and, like, you're not even allowed to have your room key. Like, you have a phone, you schedule your gym time for an hour downstairs. I don't know if it was because of COVID or the production team strategy to make you stir crazy, so when you get in the house with people, you start talking and stuff, you know. But I was in the hotel, and I was on the phone with a friend of mine, and I was like, hey, like, I was, well, let me call you back. I have the producer coming here. They're ready to take our phones. They're gonna take all our stuff, so we can go to the house. They come to my door. I forget, his name was Cole, tall buddy. He works for Pilgrim Media Group.
Okay.
He runs the show, and he's like, hey, Landon, like, you know, I just want to let you know, like, this is after, like, 2 weeks of being in Vegas, like, bored as hell, waiting for my shot. I was told I was gonna be on the show. He's like, listen, you know, you're not. We've come to decisions. We have some people that, like, have first dibs, and, like, the powers of hand say that you're not gonna be on the show. We're gonna get somebody else on the show. And I was like, no way, bro. Like, this is finally my shot. I don't know if you know my story. Back in 2020, I was on the Contender Series.
And you blew out your knee, right?
No, I got COVID.
Oh, you got COVID.
I got COVID.
Oh.
I got COVID, and it was week 9, and they couldn't rebook me. It was back, like, peak COVID. Like, they were just opening events.
Right.
And then they rescheduled me for a fight on Titan FC in January, or or February, and they told me, okay, this is going to be like his contender fight. Back then, they would sign dudes not on the contender. They would sign dudes from local shows.
Oh, yeah.
And they would do it before, not short notice. They would give you a chance, right? And he's like, okay, if he wins this fight, this is going to be his contender fight because we couldn't rebook him, right? They gave me some 9-3 guy, number one guy in Hawaii. And a week before that fight, then I tore my ACL. Jeez. So I lost one shot, then lost another shot. Then by the time I got back to fighting, it was 2 years off. So if you're inactive in fighting, you're not relevant. You know what I mean? So then I ended up having that same manager try to get on contender again. I waited it out. He couldn't get me. I took, because I won a fight coming back. I won the Titan title coming back. Big regional show back then, kind of like LFA, CFFC.
Yeah.
Won the title, and then was waiting to get on the contender season. It was just coming up. My manager was telling me, oh, stay ready, stay ready. Season starts. Couldn't get me on the beginning of the season. Had some whack-ass excuse. Oh, international fighters get first dibs because borders just open, right? Okay, no, some whack-ass excuse. Like, I haven't lost. I'm on, like, a four-fight win
streak.
That
sounds like corporate.
Like, yeah, just like, some whack-ass excuse. All finishes, you know what I mean? I was already booked on contender. Like, why can't you get me back on, you know? And I'm over here waiting. I could have been fighting and getting busy by now, you know?
Right.
And then I win that fight. Then after that, the manager, it got all the way to the end of the season. Gave me excuse after excuse after excuse every single week. Didn't get on the contender. So I defended my title, signed with a new manager, and they called me for the Ultimate Fighter for being a regional champ. The whole thing was prospects versus veterans, right? So they wanted all the prospects that were supposed to be the best guys outside of the UFC fighting the guys that were the veterans. So eventually I got on. But back to my story here, right? So this guy told me I wasn't going to be on the show. He leaves. I say a little prayer. I say, God, whatever your plan is, like, please put me on. Like, you know, I feel, or whatever it is, whether it's good, whether I get on the show, whether I'm not on the show, your plan is good. I said a prayer. 15 minutes later, boom, boom, boom. Knocks on the door, comes back. You know, I went to bat for you with Joey, my other co-producer, and you're going to be on the show.
Nice.
We ended up doing it. So it was like a weird, like, I said a prayer 15 minutes later, this dude knocks on my door. But you know what I feel that was? I feel like that was God's way of telling me, all right, kid, you think you're ready? I'm gonna put you on the show and show you you're not. I'm gonna show you not ready. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he put me on the show, and then the rest of history. I went out there, embarrassed myself, got tapped in 50 seconds. The pressure kind of broke me, but as soon as the NDA ended for the show, the UFC signed me and put me up. But in this fight game, it's all about timing and circumstances. You know, I wasn't in the best shape. They fired me out on 2 weeks' notice to Australia on a 14-hour time change. I fight a guy with 14 UFC fights, and I'm making my debut. I feel like I put up a hell of a fight, didn't work out, and then I got the next fight. I feel like I didn't have to win that fight. I lost that fight. The UFC shelves me for a year and a half, and then abruptly just releases me when I was really staying ready. I was putting my hand up for short notice fights,
yeah.
And then now we're here in Dirty Boxing. I feel like all that those headaches I had with the business of fighting, from losing this opportunity and getting injured and then winning and then not getting the opportunity after feeling I earned it, and then after that, losing a decision and then getting shelved and going through all this stuff that I went to, dude, it's exhausting.
Yeah,
it's
exhausting. It sounds a lot of adversity you're going through.
Sounds like you went through a lifetime in this business already.
Yeah, it's like, and like, to be honest, like, boo-hoo, cry about it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not the first one this has happened to. But like, when you do that, that's why I told you, like, I lost my joy. Like, I stopped wanting to go train. I stopped wanting to do this, bro. Like, I'm like, what? I got to the highest level in the sport, you know, supposed to be the NBA, NFL, the sport, and it's like, I'm still broke. I haven't changed none of my family's life. Like, nothing's going my way. Like, why the hell am I doing this shit anymore? You know, yep. Doing this anymore, this stuff anymore. Excuse my language, sorry. Why am I doing this anymore? So it's like, I, yeah, man, so I took a lot of time to reevaluate myself, take my time off, and, you know, I feel like that's why I said I got my joy back, you know, because I feel like when you do this, the only thing that's going to keep you doing this is not the business or the money. It's going to be for the love of the game, right?
You love doing
for
it.
Sure.
Yeah, you got to love the game. So it's like when you go to class, right, or like whatever, you guys trained before, you guys ever gone to a gym or a school or anything like that?
Sure.
Okay, but if you go to a school or whatever, you get your gym membership, right? You're happy to go after work. You had a long day.
Yep.
You want to go to class because you're there because you enjoy it. It's fun. Right. Like, I'm doing it because I want to be there, you know? And I feel like I started to approach fighting like that now. And you saw that in the performance.
You look forward to it.
Now I look forward to doing it for fun, to do it to be the best me I can be. I don't care about what the media says about me. I don't care what the fans think about me. I just, at the end of the day, whether I win or lose, I'm going to go home to my daughter. I'm going to go home to my family. I'm going to go home, and my coaches are still going to love me, and I'm going to have my personal relationships with them. My bills are going to be paid. Everything's going to be good. At the end of the day, win, lose, or draw, nothing changes. So that allows me to go and be free when I'm fighting now because of all the things that I've been through. You know, I've kind of found that that mental place that, like, I feel like I'm coming into my own, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm super excited for that moving forward.
Talking to Landon Quinones, South Florida Zone, the Lone Wolf, just won his dirty boxing debut a couple months back and healing up. What? So, ideally, you say that, was it a couple more, a few more, about a month off before you can get hit again, right?
Yeah, one more.
About you got a baby on the way. Yep. So, like, ideally, you're thinking probably, like, next, like, early 2026, you'll be back in if all things break your way?
I mean, probably as soon as possible now. I was actually in pursuit of a career in law enforcement, but unfortunately, some things fell through. So, now it's like, I thought I wasn't going to be fighting for another 6 months to a year. But I guess when that fell through or things happened, I think that's God's way of telling me, like, you're not done, kid. Like, yeah. You got a lot of work to do. You got a lot of people to inspire, you know, and you got a lot of skulls to crack. So, you know, let's go.
We're looking forward to seeing it, man. Hey, we appreciate you stopping by. This was a blast. And I think you got a lot of fans in South Florida who are going to be excited to see what the rest of the journey is, Landon.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate Thanks. You guys for real.
Absolutely. We'll take a break here on the show. Back with more after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.